Like many kids growing up, I played football. And if you played football, you at one point or another dreamed of scoring a touchdown. Every kid dreams of scoring a touchdown, not just in the backyard with their friends, but in a real game. And I was no different. But most of my football career, I always played defense. And as most of you know, the defense stops other people from trying to score. They do not try to score themselves. But there was one year, it was my last year of football, where I got to play an offensive position. And the offense position was fullback. Now, if you know about football, fullback is not the person who usually gets to run with the football, but they're the person who blocks for the person running with the football. But every coach has a few running plays designed for the fullback to keep the defense off guard, to make sure that they have to pay attention to them. Well, I remember it was my last year of football, and our team was on the 1 yard line, meaning we only had to go 3 feet in order to score a touchdown. And the coach called a play to hand me the ball. All I had to do was go 1 yard, and I would have the touchdown that I always dreamed of. So we go to the line of scrimmage. The quarterback lines up, hikes the ball, and goes back to hand it to me. I take the ball, and I see this huge, giant hole open up. A hole so big created by the offensive line that I could just walk and score a touchdown. And so here it was, my big moment to finally score a touchdown. And just as I was crossing the goal line, about to celebrate my first touchdown, the referee blows the whistle. Foul on the play. One of the players on my team was offside. It was a penalty, and my touchdown didn't count. We go back to the huddle, and the coach calls a different play for a different player, and they end up scoring the touchdown. My one chance ruined. And as much as I'd like to say it, I never scored a touchdown again. I like to share that story because I think it demonstrates something that we all experience in our own lives. All of us have hopes and plans and dreams, not only for ourselves, but for people that we care about that never come to fruition, that we never fully realize. Sure, there are some areas in our life where we're successful, some areas in our life where things turn out the way that we want them to, but there are other areas of our life where we fail, where we struggle, where we experience setbacks that sometimes we never fully recover from. That is because we are fragile. As much as we try to be strong, as much as we try to control our own futures, all of us know deep down inside of ourselves that we are fragile creatures, that life itself is very fragile. Our scripture reading today has a term for this. In our scripture reading today, the Apostle Paul says that as people, we are like jars of clay. Now, if you know anything about a jar of clay, you know that there are a few things that go into it. First of all, it takes a lot of work to make a jar of clay, right? You have to shape it, you have to mold it, and you have to heat it, and sometimes even paint it. It takes a lot of work, some skill, to get a jar of clay to look exactly the way that you want it to. And on the other hand, jars of clay can be very beautiful. That if the person is talented and gifted enough, that the jar of clay can be something that sits on a counter or a shelf that people look at proudly for years. And the jar of clay looks sturdy. I mean, it's made of clay, right, which seemingly feels hard once it's finished, but we know that jars of clay are actually very fragile. That if knocked off a counter or a shelf of some kind, and that jar of clay hits the ground, it shatters into a bunch of pieces. Pieces that cannot be put back together again. When the Apostle Paul talks about being a jar of clay, that resonates with us. That resonates with us because, like the maker of clay, a lot of work goes into our lives and the lives of people that we care about. And sometimes that hard work can pay off. Sometimes that hard work can create something beautiful, something that we're proud of. But other times, that hard work seemingly crashes to the ground and things fall into a million pieces that can't be put back together again. You see, we are like jars of clay. We are fragile and often weak. And things happen to us and in our world where it seems like things might never be made right again. Another word we might say is weak. That we, as people, as human beings, are weak creatures. But we don't like to talk about that. That doesn't feel very good. And so we often try to combat our weakness and work against our weakness by building up the opposite of our weakness, strength. Perhaps you've heard of a person called Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is a person who got his fame coming to the WWE, which is professional wrestling, and then he made his transition into movies where he has starred in many, many action films. He's a modern-day Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you will. But one of the ways Dwayne The Rock Johnson is most popular is through his Instagram page. Instagram is social media, for those of you who don't know, like Facebook. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson has millions and millions of followers that watch him work out. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is so popular that advertisers will often pay him up to $1 million to put something on his Instagram page. Just one post saying he uses a certain product, and the advertisers feel that that is worth $1 million for him to do that. Well, the reason people follow Dwayne The Rock Johnson is because if you've ever seen a picture of him, it seems like he's got muscles on top of muscles on top of muscles. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is the picture of strength. Dwayne The Rock Johnson looks like he was carved out of stone. And people look at this not only because they admire him, but because many people want to be like him. Many people want to be like him physically strong, but also mentally and spiritually strong. But here's the thing about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. The thing that most people don't want to talk about. That if he lives long enough, Dwayne The Rock Johnson will become, like everyone, a frail old man. That there will be some day where Dwayne The Rock Johnson is unable to pick up a heavy weight again. You see, this idea of working harder, trying harder, being better, doing more, doesn't work because as human beings, we are limited. We are frail. We are weak. We, as the scripture reading says, are like jars of clay. And the answer is not to try to be stronger and stronger and stronger. The answer instead is to embrace the biblical idea of weakness. The idea that is embodied in our scripture reading today. Our scripture reading doesn't simply say that as human beings, we are like jars of clay, and that's it. But it goes on to say that yes, we are jars of clay, but we have a treasure inside of us that does not come from us. The treasure of God Himself. The treasure of Jesus Christ. And the key in life is not to try to build up the jar of clay, but is to draw our strength not from ourselves, but from Jesus Christ. So the question then becomes, how do we do that? How do we draw our daily strength more and more, not from our own resources and our own abilities, because again, those are limited, but instead to draw our strength from a God who is unlimited? Well, there's a few steps. The first step is this. Admit you are weak. Admit that as a person, you are flawed and weak. And again, this is something that doesn't come easy to us. This isn't something that is comfortable for us, but it's something that is necessary. But because before we can rely on God's strength, we have to stop trying to rely on our own strength. This is something that people in recovery groups, both recovery from drugs and alcohol, understand very well. They have something that's called the 12-step program. 12 steps to help them recover from their addiction. And the first step is not really about doing something they can do. The first step is about admitting what they can't do. The first step, believe it or not, is about admitting that they are powerless over their addiction. It's about admitting that they are powerless over their addiction. Before we can rely on God's strength, we have to do a similar thing. We have to admit that ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, we are powerless over our own lives. Oh, sure, we can do some things, right? We can influence some people. We can make some decisions that do have an impact, no doubt. But in the grand scheme of things, in the course of all of human history, in the course of the world and the universe and everything in it, what we do is sort of a drop in the ocean. And so we have to admit that in the grand scheme of things, we are powerless. In the grand scheme of things, we are weak. But once we do that, we do not stay in that spot, because staying in that spot would lead us to despair. That we are weak and frail and that's it? Of course not. Instead, it says that within us is an immeasurable power, because it's the power of God. And it's put there not because of anything that we have done, but it's put there because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And that part of ourselves, our soul, that part of ourselves does not die. But actually that part of ourselves grows stronger and stronger and stronger, our scripture says, as we, our physical bodies, get weaker and weaker and weaker. The scripture says that even though day by day we are growing weaker and weaker and weaker, our soul is growing stronger and stronger and stronger, because it is growing closer and closer to that day where the full glory of Jesus Christ will be revealed to us. You see, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, God puts in you, in your heart and in your soul, something that cannot be destroyed, something that cannot be taken from this world. And this power is there, not just simply for the rest of your life, but for all eternity. And so instead of looking at the ways that we are frail, we should look at the way that we are strong. We are strong through the Holy Spirit. We are strong through Jesus Christ, who lives in us now and for all eternity. The third and final thing that we are called to do after we admit our weakness, after we have a power that is not from us and lasts for all eternity, the third thing that we are called to do is not lose heart. Our scripture reading today opens with this. Therefore, since by God's mercy we are engaged in His ministry, we do not lose heart. See, we do not lose heart because the scripture says that we are on God's side, that we are on God's team, and God wins victory in the end. The author and pastor Max Lucado puts it this way. He says that our final moment will be our greatest moment. You see, we are like players in a game where we are trying very hard to win, but we actually already know the score because the score has already been set by Jesus Christ. And so we live our lives winning some battles and losing some battles, but most of all, we live our lives knowing at the end we win the war, because the war has already been won through the life, death, resurrection of Christ. So may you, in a fragile and complicated world, not lose heart. Not lose heart, not because you don't struggle. You do. I do. We all do. May you not lose heart because you know that within your clay jar self, there is an immeasurable power that exists in you that spans now and from all eternity. And this power cannot be added to or taken away from. Because this power does not ultimately belong to you or me or anything that happens in this world. But this power has been secured by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, now and for all eternity. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we ask that you help us recognize the great power that resides in us. Power that does not come from our bodies, or a power that does not come from our minds, but a power that comes from your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.